Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza. It's great to be here, and I'm just, as always, very excited to have another opportunity to speak with you and to bring you information that is life-changing and potentially life-saving. You know, as you do know, once a month we're very blessed to have a very special person as one of our guests on holistic health. We do several different shows on holistic health with different guests, and we've been very, very fortunate enough for the last few years to have someone who is definitely qualified to speak on holistic health. And if you've been following the show, you know that every month, every second Thursday, as our special guest, we have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Ruby Lathan, and today's her day, and so we're just excited to have another opportunity to bring her to you, and we're going to be talking about a topic that, you know, you really don't even think about it until you really need to think about it, you know, because we breathe all the time, right? I mean, we're going to be talking about natural remedies for respiratory diseases. And normally you don't even think about your respiratory system until you really need to think about it. You know, like I was sharing with someone today, and if you've ever choked on a piece of food or had something go down the wrong tube, you know, and then your breath is cut off even just for just a few short seconds, I mean, you then know that what you might take for granted, you know, like just breathing normally, when your breath is cut off, you mean, just in that example, you know, you, for those 5 or so seconds, you don't know when you're going to take your next breath, and then it becomes very, very clear to you how important breathing is. And so today we're going to be talking about natural remedies for respiratory diseases, for those people out there who are dealing with respiratory diseases, or you, if you know somebody who is, now would be a great time to either text them or, you know, call them and let them know that Dr. Lathan's on. And again, we're going to be sharing some information that could be potentially life-saving. So I'm very pleased to have her back again. So for those who are just tuning in for the first time, again, we're always getting new listeners, and you might not know who Dr. Lathan is. So let me just share some information about her with you so that you understand why you're listening to her. You're not listening to somebody who just started this yesterday, okay? Dr. Lathan is a certified holistic health nutritionist and an advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Ruby worked as a researcher and an award-winning engineer and now teaches others how to re-engineer their health and live disease-free. She's a graduate of the University of Alabama and served as nutrition policy manager at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she developed and led a national grassroots campaign to advocate legislation for more healthful plant-based meat options in the National School Lunch Program. Dr. Lathan is host of the Veggie Chest, as well as the Roadmap to Holistic Health. She has her own plant-based cooking show, and through her organization, the Roadmap to Holistic Health, Dr. Lathan hosts a number of health conferences, workshops, and vegan cooking classes, and provides customized nutritional consultations. So, as you can see, she knows what she's talking about. I mean, even has gone as far as legislating, you know, presenting legislation for more healthful plant-based meal options in the National School Lunch Program. That goes to show you how important this work is, that she would even go that far to even make sure that our children were getting, you know, fed properly and nutritious food that could aid them. So it's without further ado that I welcome back Dr. Ruby Lathan. As always, it's a pleasure, my sister. Great to have you back. I know we're in for another powerful show. So thank you again for yesterday.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's truly an honor even to talk to somebody that has devoted their life to helping others to stay well and to teach others how, in fact, they can do that. You know, but before we get into the discussion today about natural remedies for respiratory diseases, I want to make sure that people are aware you've got an event coming up, some classes, some cooking classes coming up that I would love to make the family aware of, because, you know, for whatever reason, sometimes people don't listen all the way through to the end of the show. They, if they have to go, if the phone rings or something, doorbell rings, and they got to go handle that. I don't want them to miss your class information. Could you share about the classes that you have, the cooking classes that you have coming up, Dr. Latham?
Sure, sure. This is the third in my summer series. So last weekend we focused on vegan entrees. This week we're focusing on this Sunday on healthy vegan desserts. So so that's what we're going to be whipping up, some nice sweet stuff on Sunday at 3 o'clock in D.C. So if you're in Washington, D.C. or surrounding areas, come on out. We had a full packed house last week, and it was a really fun and delicious class. So we're looking forward to more fun this Sunday as well. So from 3 to 5, folks can just go to my website to register in advance and get all the details there.
RubyLathan.com?
Right, right. So it's RubyLathon.com. And you'll see it right there on the front page, and you can click on that and sign up and bring a friend, and it's always good. And we talk about nutrition benefits and all of that too. So it's also a good time to meet other folks who are on the same path to living a healthy life, but one that is full of flavor, so that you don't feel deprived. So it's definitely something you'd want to check out.
You know, this is very important. This event is very, very important, even just from the standpoint that oftentimes many people who are making the transition or even have made the transition from meat eating to a vegetarian lifestyle or a vegan lifestyle, oftentimes don't know what to actually cook or even how to actually cook, and so their diet becomes mainly veggie patties. You know, they know they're not going to eat meat anymore, so it's just, okay, let me see where I can, what store sells veggie patties, you know, and so veggie patties,
right,
in many cases, become the main staple, you know, but as far as cooking, getting into the kitchen and actually cooking and preparing food that tastes like the food and even better than the food that they used to eat, you know, because vegetarianism or veganism doesn't have to just be veggie patties, you know. You know, so for those who are listening, you know, you can go out and you can actually learn how to prepare dishes that are alternative dishes to what you used to eat, you know. You can have a nut loaf. You know, it's not a meatloaf, but it tastes better than a meatloaf, and it's actually better for you, and you can learn how to make things. I'm sure you'll be talking about, but not this Sunday, this one, or this weekend is going to be on the dessert part, but could you talk about that just for a moment, Doc, just the importance of people even learning how to prepare foods once they've made the transition so that it doesn't get boring, the lifestyle doesn't get boring, and they can actually have food that tastes similar to what they
Sure. Yeah, that it's really important, and that's why that class was so full. It's because people really wanted to know, what do I eat now instead, and how can I make it interesting? Because some people say, they switch to a plant-based diet, and now they're just eating like sautéed or steamed veggies and rice for dinner because they don't know what else to eat. And I'm like, that's great and that's healthy, but that's going to get old really fast. So it is really important to have a variety of things and to have some good, really delicious go-to dishes, like we did lasagna, really healthy but really good lasagna. So it gives some options of something that you're familiar with but without cholesterol and saturated fat and other things that will kill you. This one is going to give you energy and make you feel good. So so it's very important to get a variety. And basically, you really are going to have to learn relearn cooking, because most cooking that we've been brought up with includes meat and some dairy product, cheese or milk as a base, and cream, cream as a base. And that's generally how we've been taught to, make food taste good, is to add the fat of meat or dairy products or eggs. And that's how we increase the flavor in a lot of things, but there are a lot of healthier ways to do that. So, learning those alternatives that are really good, and probably a lot of them you might not even be familiar with. Like, we did a mock chicken salad with nuts and sunflower seeds and things like that that probably wouldn't just come up with on your own without kind of doing a little research. But it gives people were excited because they're like, oh, this is something I can take for lunch just like I would a chicken salad. But, again, it's healthy fats and none of the cholesterol and none of the saturated fat. It's all good stuff, lots of antioxidants and fiber now that they can replace their chicken salad with. So things like that, it's very important to have some replacements for old favorites and then to learn some new stuff too.
You mean hungry, Dr. Layton? You're talking about my chicken? Oh my God, I love my chicken. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a favorite.
They're saying that they might want to even a replacement. Has there come up anything? Has anything been presented as a replacement for the microwave? Because there are a lot of people who have made the transition that have given up the microwave, but they're still used to getting food fast. You know, the microwave was convenient in that way. I mean, you know, the trade-off, there was one heck of a trade-off for fast food. You sure got a lot of bad stuff in return, but people that are making that transition, any suggestions, or they just hurry up and wait, or, do something positive while you're waiting
for food? Nothing is going to be as fast as the microwave, so you just have to know that. That's just off the cuff. But the toaster oven is pretty quick at heating things up because it's small, and so it's really fast, You might get 30 seconds in the microwave, might take 5 minutes in the toaster oven. It's worth the wait to go ahead and do that and do something else while your food is heating up. I would say it's a good time to do some deep breathing and squats while you're waiting for your food to heat. Use that time wisely. So, and then there's some convection toaster ovens, which, blow the warm air around, so they're even a little bit faster than a regular toaster oven. So I would recommend that as one of the quicker ways. And then I have really good cookware, Salad Master, that heats things really fast too. So if you have something like that, a small pot, and you put it on the stove, it'll heat it up pretty quick too. So, going back to the ways we used to do before the microwave was popular, those ways still work. But I stick with the toaster oven most often to heat things.
Yeah, what the right? I mean, we're just spoiled, We've gotten spoiled by that.
It's great if it wasn't unhealthy, unfortunately. So, the microwave. So
sometimes you got to make.
It definitely damages the food, and in some cases makes it a carcinogen, and sometimes depletes certain nutrients. So it's something to be avoided, and certainly something not to stand in front of, as many people do.
Everybody, are you ready for a powerful show? I mean, this is going to be a powerful show. I mean, already the phone lines are, people are calling in. Again, if you have a question during the course of the interview, all you have to do is press 1. If you're listening by phone, if you're online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. We're going to be talking about natural remedies for respiratory diseases. As I mentioned, oftentimes we don't even think about respiratory issues unless we have to, unless it's a situation where, we are now been told that we have to take medication because COPD or asthma or bronchitis or some other condition. You don't even think about it unless you've, you know, choked on something and you lost your breath and, you know, you started turning blue in the face, didn't know when you were going to take your next breath. You don't think about it because it's something that we just do. The body does it, whether, you know, and most times we're not even conscious of it. Unless we're doing conscious breathing, we're not even aware of the fact that we're breathing. I mean, God only knows how many breaths we take during the course of a day, you know. So we don't even think about it. But for those who are dealing with conditions, again, like the ones I mentioned, COPD, asthma, bronchitis, or others, this show is for you. And it's even for you if you don't have those conditions, because we want to prevent those conditions. So, Dr. Lathan, just to lay the foundation for the discussion, can we just talk about oxygen for a moment? Just the importance of oxygen to the body. You know, the brain needs oxygen, cells need oxygen, you know, and again, oftentimes it's not until we can't get it that we even think about it. Could you talk about the importance of oxygen to the body?
Absolutely. It's, you know, oxygen, breath, breathing, that is the lifeblood. I mean, that's the first thing, the most critical thing. You can only go without oxygen for, you know, less than a few minutes without damage. So, you know, we can go without food and water for a long time and even sleep, but we cannot go without oxygen for more than a couple of minutes. So that in itself highlights the importance of oxygen right there. It's what, you know, it is like, it's kind of like the blood that circulates all the good stuff and gets out all the bad stuff. It is what they call the breath of life. It is life because taking in, you know, the oxygen, air is really what helps the body do what it needs to do. It can be very healing or it can be damaging if we're breathing in, you know, other things like smoke and cigarette smoke and unclean environments. So, you know, that deep breathing, for example, can be very healing. It can be very relaxing. It helps reduce stress. You know, when people say, you know, take a deep breath, you know, when people are freaking out, I mean, that's actually a good idea to do because it actually does help the body relax and release this trauma and the stress. And so deep breathing is, you know, breathing period, but deep breathing is very important to the body. A lot of times we don't do enough deep breathing. We end up doing lots of shallow breathing. But when you take the time to intentionally breathe on purpose, you can get a lot of your body moving and circulating and a lot of things, stale air out of your body when you're doing deep breathing and good stuff in. You know, it has many, many, many benefits, and it's absolutely, you know, crucial. Can't live without it. So you can, just like anything else, you can maximize your breath and breathing so that it enhances your health. And so that it's so simple, you know, so you can do it sitting down, standing, anytime. When you're feeling stressed or just need a break, you know, taking that breath, taking a moment, take a breather, as people say, all these things. Actually, we should do it literally, you know, because it is highly, highly beneficial.
You know, when we talk about the respiratory system, excuse me, oftentimes the first thing that's going to come to people's minds, of course, is the lungs. But even when we talk about the respiratory system, of course, oxygen is, you know, taken in, and it's going to, of course, go into the lungs, but it starts in the nostrils, you know. I mean, that's the vehicle, that's the pathway that the oxygen is going to get to the lungs is through the nostrils. I mean, when we talk about respiratory health and, you know, where the nostrils got to play a serious role in this thing too, you know. So even when we talk about nostril health or nose health, it's got to be tied in. So when we talk about foods that would even prohibit the airflow from getting into the nostril. For example, if you're full of mucus, then of course your nose is going to be clogged and you're not going to get in there. It's going to make it harder to breathe and to get in that fresh air. So could you even just talk about foods that would inhibit or cause conditions that would even cause mucus, number one, and then foods that would cause a constriction in the flow of oxygen through the tubes in the lungs that carry the oxygen to where it needs to go.
Right. So there are, you know, a lot of foods that will produce mucus and foods that help eliminate that and are anti-inflammatory, which we hear a lot about nowadays is inflammation and anti-inflammatories. So the most foods that introduce and help your body create mucus or excess mucus is going to be dairy products, milk and cheese and cream, all of those things, ice cream, the whole gamut, anything that uses cow's milk or animal milk is going to, in most people, cause some inflammation and development of mucus. And it's that overdevelopment of mucus is not clearing the body that makes it difficult to breathe, and a lot of people end up, you know, so congested you end up breathing through your mouth, which isn't, you know, optimal, because the nose has, you know, little follicles and things that help trap dirt and thing. It's a filter before it gets all the way in your system, which isn't happening if you're doing breathing through your mouth. It's also not the best way to look and breathe. So, but that ends up being like dairy thing, because some people just cannot, you know, are so congested that it's a constant thing that, you know, you're not able to get air in effectively, enough air in effectively. So, you know, so definitely eliminating, starting with all dairy products will help reduce this excess mucus that is present in a lot of these conditions to start with. And then focusing on, and then also sugar helps increase mucus as well, the processed sugar. So we want to keep that very low. And actually not eating any processed sugar, but using natural sweeteners like fruit, dates and things like that would be mostly recommended, because it also, you know, subdues the immune system when you're eating processed sugar, which is something you don't want to do when you're having any type of, you don't want to do it period, but especially if you're having respiratory issues. So that's, you know, that's the guideline. And then you want to eat a lot of anti-inflammatory foods that will help reduce inflammation in the body, including the lungs and respiratory system and all of that. So there's a lot that can be done. You know, just starting with food to reduce inflammation and mucus and to not introduce it.
You know, you mentioned the hair in the nostrils that is there to kind of filter certain things. What about people who actually cut their hair in their nose? Because, you know, I think we've all seen some people that, I mean, they have hair growing out of their nose, you know, and so they actually cut it to, I guess, so, you know, just for appearance sake. So in doing so, they're, because, of course, nobody wants hair growing out of their nose, but so if somebody's cutting the hair in their nose for that purpose, for appearance sake, they need to know that they are doing something that could basically cause a situation where now they're not getting the filter that they need, or can they just cut some of it or not and leave some hair in your nose, but because you need that. But again, you have some people that, you know, you've seen some people with, they've got older as they age, they've gotten hair growing out of their nose. I've seen that.
Yeah, I don't discourage grooming, so I think it's a good idea, especially if it's growing. You have too much at that point, so you just don't want to overdo it. So yes, you should, if that's what you do, absolutely I would recommend doing it, but doing it with moderation so you're not, you know, overdoing it so that you still have that filter there, and it doesn't, you don't need a lot, it doesn't, you know, so the grooming that people mm-hmm. are doing is fine for the most part, as long as they're not really touching the skin inside their nose, then they should be okay.
Okay. Everybody, again, if you have a question, all you have to do is just press 1. I'm talking with Dr. Lathan. We're talking about natural remedies for respiratory disease. They say that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So if we could just talk just for a moment, just if you don't want to get a respiratory disease, there are certain things, that certain lifestyle that you want to adopt and certain things you definitely want to stay away from. And if you already have a condition, certain things you definitely need to let go of. For example, and I mean, this is a no-brainer, like smoking, correct, doctor?
Right, yeah. Now, that is a primary cause of some illnesses like emphysema and other things like that, definitely, and COPD, those kind of things can definitely be brought on by smoking, including the inhalers that don't use tobacco but are using, you know, the other that are popular now, the e-cigarettes. Those also can agitate and cause problems as well. So any type of smoking needs to not be done because it does cause serious issues. So especially tobacco, smoke in any form. So that is a no-brainer, but it's not a lot of people don't always follow that. You know, the statistics say that people with about 50% of people with respiratory illnesses still smoke.
Wow.
So folks aren't listening or aren't seeing it as enough of a benefit to stop, or, you know, the addiction can be, I guess, very strong. So it's definitely something. Smoking is definitely a no-brainer off the list and will help avoid many of these things just right off the bat.
You know, I'm thinking that maybe the medication that they're being prescribed for whatever the condition is, whether it's COPD or, you know, whatever respiratory issue they're dealing with, it must at least subdue the effects of it enough so that the person who is smoking figures they can continue smoking and just take the medication. You know what I mean? Not
sometimes,
considering, of course,
sometimes people
the other
are
side
willing
of the
to just live with it, you know, they're not willing to, you know, just give up an old habit. I mean, that is, you know, very addictive. So, you know, I don't know, sometimes the medication does help, absolutely. So it gives them a false sense of being healed. But, yeah, I think more or less, it's probably a bit of a addiction there that makes smoking hard to stop, even when you have a obvious respiratory illness.
Can we talk for a moment, doctor, about household cleaning products, just and even how that might contribute in some sense to someone contracting some sort of respiratory issue? Because we don't even consider, at least a lot of people don't consider, what they're inhaling when they're inhaling the, you know, the fumes, the toxins from the products that they're using, you know, whether it's bleach or ammonia or, you know, whatever other issues or products they may be using. Even people that have gone holistic, you know, from candles to incense to, you know, different things that we inhale, because we're always, again, we're always breathing, so we're inhaling something, you know, whether it's clean air or bad air, we're inhaling something. But even when you are cleaning and you're using products that have a lot of chemicals in them, it seems that those chemicals, if not holistically, you know, manufactured, could definitely cause some sort of issues with someone's respiratory system.
Absolutely. That's a really good point, because one of the things that a lot of people use is air fresheners, for example. So, you know, we buy the cans of air freshener, the various brands, and spray it all over the house. And those are highly toxic and not good for any respiratory illness at all. It's not good for anyone, because they say that aerosol, when you breathe it in, it coats kind of the lining of the lung and suppresses some of your ability to do what it needs to do, because now you have this little sticky film in your body, in your lungs, which will cause infection, which will also make it more difficult to breathe and cause all kinds of issue. And some people are spraying this every day. I've seen, you know, I was at someone's house and they had this purple air freshener that you plug in, and the liquid was purple. And I noticed on some of their surfaces where they hadn't, you know, you missed dusting, but the dust was purple. Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying, if it's making the dust purple, what is it doing? You know, if that's going into our body, you're breathing that in. That's how thick that little mister is. So those type of things should not be used at all. Those are all synthetic, just not healthy at all. So get rid of air fresheners. Get rid of the plug-in type air fresheners. Those should not be used. They're the ones that plug into the wall. Now, you can use essential oil as an air freshener and have a diffuser that puts that out in the air, and then that's actually going to be therapeutic, because you want to breathe in air that has healthy essential oils that are all natural, organic. A lot of these are food-grade essential oils that you could eat or rub on your body, and so going into your system is a good thing. So that if you want to freshen your house, that would be the way to do it, using, you know, finding an essential oil that you like eucalyptus or peppermint, or there's so many fragrances, lemon, that you can use that, and blends that you can put together that smell really good and actually are benefiting your body as opposed to toxifying your body. And then there are the candles and the incense. Candles really are not the healthiest, especially a lot of them are using certain lead wicks, which are not healthy at all to breathe in. So they leave a byproduct and a film as well. So you really want to use natural candles that are using like the soy-based wick and very clean burning. Otherwise, you're also toxifying your body. So those scented candles usually are doing the same thing as the plug-ins and the aerosol. So not healthy, you know, very synthetic smelling, and it's using all synthetic materials, and then they might probably aren't using the right kind of wick. So you can go online and or find, you know, some of the stores that carry certain types of healthy wicks. For candles, then you can use those. Incense, unfortunately, isn't that healthy either. It is often very synthetic also, so it's not highly recommended unless they have some supernatural ones that I haven't run across yet. Doesn't mean they're not out there. It's just not something I've researched. So I would look into seeing if there was something that was a little better than their traditional incense, because it is just burning synthetic material, which isn't healthy either. So I recommend essential oils and healthy burning candles if you can find them, but essential oil is going to be your best bet, and it smells good and therapeutic. Just have to make sure you you know, clean your diffuser as instructed, so you're, because it is a moisture thing, so that there isn't any bacteria growing in that?
You know, they say information is power. And, you know, for a lot of people, they might be hearing this information for the first time. And if so, don't reject it, you know, because you heard it for a reason. You know, you tuned in for a reason. So you knew when you tuned in you were going to get information about holistic health. Well, this is it. This is holistic health, right? And a lot of people might think, wow, I didn't know it was going to take all of this. I mean, just to live, you know, to live healthy, I thought all I had to do was stop eating meat, you know, and that's part of it. But if you want to live healthy, a healthy lifestyle, that's the word, lifestyle, a style of living, you know, and you don't want to have a situation where you want to experience a nice romantic evening and you're going home and lighting candles and incense thinking that, oh, wow, you know, this is going to be this is going to be wonderful, you know, and all the time you're doing harm not only to your person, but you're doing harm to the other person as well. So it's a lifestyle that needs to, you know, promote health. And if you've heard today that, you know, certain candles are not healthy for you, it would behoove you to research that when you go out and you start looking for candles. You need to find out, okay, I heard what Dr. Lathan said, and like she says, you can't, once you hear it, you can't unhear it. So the next time you go looking for incense, you will remember what you heard today. Okay, she gave you an alternative. You can do oils, you can do diffusers. I mean, there are other ways that you can scent your house and, you know, make it smell fresh. And, you know, oh my gosh, if you've never smelled lavender coming from an oil burner, oh my God, you're in for a treat. Okay, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And so, I mean, there anything, because basically all the candle things are mimicking natural things anyway, so just let's get the natural stuff. And I think the candles, particularly because I know there are people who just love candles, the ones you want to look for are made with either coconut wax, soy, hemp oil, beeswax, and those are the ones you're looking for, and you wanted them to be scented with essential oil and not with, you know, synthetic fragrances. Fragrances, rather, and looking for anything that doesn't have, you know, synthetic coloring. You want it to be natural and doesn't have any paraffin in it. So there are alternatives. You just have to look a little bit and find the ones that are good, that are made naturally. And the good news is the tide is turning. The more we make decisions with our money, and the trend is toward healthier things, more healthier things are available. So just don't get overwhelmed. It is a lifestyle one step at a time, and you start making these little changes, and then before you know it, it's a lifestyle, and it's not a big deal.
You know, doctor, there may be somebody out there that's listening that says, wow, I wish I'd have known this, you know, 2 years ago. You know, last year I went to the doctor and they told me that I had COPD or asthma or bronchitis or something. You know, you stated that if you can get it, you can unget it. So for somebody that might be dealing with a condition that they may have gotten as a result of a combination of things, it might been, you know, might have been dairy and mucus and, you know, from the diet, it may have been, you know, from just lifestyle. Okay, some of the things that we've talked about. What recommendations would you, where would you suggest that they start? Okay, now let's just take somebody who is dealing with COPD, for example, and they might be a meat eater or they might not be vegan. Would the first thing you suggest, let go, get rid of the dairy, would that be number one?
Absolutely. If they're smoking, that would be the first thing, to stop smoking anything. So let's assume they're not non-smoker with COPD. I would say absolutely it would be getting rid of any dairy products. And then we want to go toward a plant-based diet as well, because that's going to alleviate all the other issues. Inflammation is also caused by, you know, meat products. And the way that those are served than just eating that in general. So you want to definitely start with cutting all dairy products, and that means reading labels, because everybody always says, oh, I don't drink milk, so, you know, I don't really do dairy. But they're eating cheese and all these processed things that have whey protein, because there's milk in everything. And so if you're not a label reader but you think you don't drink milk, you probably do and don't realize it, because it's hidden. It takes a little work to not consume dairy because it's so so popular, and it's used in everything and cheap. So you really have to read labels so that you're not getting it in foods that you would think wouldn't have it in there, but they are. So, you know, be very diligent and vigilant about getting rid of dairy products in all foods, and then cut the meat and go toward a really healthy diet, because that is what is going to help heal the body. I have a good friend who had COPD, went to a plant-based diet, and within a few months it was, it might have been less than a few months, it was gone, but also doing breathing exercises also. So you want to look at, you know, things you want to include. So let's say we're getting the dairy out, getting the meat out. We want to start including things that have lots of omega-3s and anti-inflammatories. Citrus fruit is going to be really good if you're not, you know, if you don't have any issues with that. Citrus, because some of the components in citrus are very good at reducing inflammation that the body really needs. So I would, you know, lemon, lime, oranges, grapefruit, all of that. And then putting, like, citrus in your water, like having a glass of water when you first get up, putting either apple cider vinegar, which is an anti-inflammatory, or lemon or lime, squeezing that in and having that, staying very hydrated, is really going to be very beneficial. But also adding that anti-inflammatory to the water would be great. So I'd say start with that. Drink lots of water, pure filtered water. Put some lemon, lime, or apple cider vinegar in it regularly, but especially when you first get up, drink those 2 glasses of water with your lemon, lime, or apple cider vinegar. And then you want to eat foods that are high in omega-3s because they're anti-inflammatory. So those are going to be your nuts and seeds, your walnuts, your hemp seeds, chia seeds, flax seeds, and lots of other foods, but those are going to have the highest amount, and then you start including, you know, berries and all those other kind of things. But water is going to be key. Fruits, vegetables is going to be key. Breathing, deep breathing and breathing exercises is going to actually help increase the blood flow, help reduce that shortness of breath and all of that. So it's very doable. And then you'll be able to get off of the fake anti-inflammatories, which are usually the steroids and things like that, that don't actually treat the cause, so they're not going to be effective forever. And then once you're starting to stabilize, exercising is important. Even though, you know, people have a hard time breathing, you still have to exercise to build up your lung capacity. Again, you cannot be sedentary and expect things like COPD to go away. You have to get moving, take your breaks as necessary, and get your deep breaths in, but it's going to be difficult to heal by just sitting around. And it's going to make you feel better when you exercise. So, you know, start with the deep breathing exercises. Take it easy when you exercise. You know, catch your breath when you need to, but you want to get that cardio, brisk walking and things like that in, and you know, weight-bearing exercises. It's all going to be very, very important. That's where to start. But there are also some other things. You know, we talked about essential oils. Essential oils can be very helpful for this too. So like peppermint, eucalyptus oil especially can be really good for helping reduce inflammation. So lemon oil too. So, you know, start with the peppermint or eucalyptus or blend. That's going to be really good. So definitely get rid of any other air fresheners, any regular commercial air fresheners you should not be using. You want to get anything like that from health food store. You know, I know we like to keep our bathrooms fresh, but they have natural air fresheners that use essential oils that you can put in the bathroom to spray and that kind of thing. So you want to just find the natural stuff and use that. So that would be the starting point. And then, you know, the other typical stuff, getting good sleep and reducing stress. Of course, if you're, like, having, you know, a breathing attack and you're highly stressed, those things are going to just agitate each other. So got to keep stress low and figure out ways to reduce your stress. You know, keep a clean air environment, you know, maybe even an air filter if you're having severe breathing issues.
What about disinfects, like, you know, the spray, the disinfect sprays where, you know, people want to spray on doorknobs and spray in the air to make sure that they're, you know, some of them claim to kill, you know, 99% of all germs in the air or whatever. That would fall into the same category as toxic stuff that you don't want to, because the thought could be, well, if I'm killing germs in the air that I'm intaking through the air, then that's a good thing. I'm killing the bacteria that's in the air that could possibly contribute to my lung condition, but the spray itself could actually contribute to the condition. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, I used to love to get that disinfectant spray and spray everything, especially when I'm traveling. It's like I'm disinfecting the whole place, and you barely can breathe breathing all that stuff in. So I don't do that anymore, even though I'm a fan of disinfecting things. No, we got to find healthier ways to do it. You know, I use cleaners with grapefruit seed extract and those kind of things. So no, those are not healthy because you're breathing all that bacteria killing stuff into your lungs. So that would be a no-go unless you're going to spray the place with a mask on, gas mask, and then leave and come back, you know, the next day, you know, you're going to be breathing that in. So, you know, maybe using the wipes might lessen that because it's not going directly into the air, but even those I don't touch with my hands because those things are very strong chemical disinfectants. So anytime you touch or breathe it in, it's not healthy for you either. So I know folks love that stuff because I used to too, but it's not good for breathing in. And often you would start coughing when you're spraying the place up like that, which is a clue that this isn't good for you. So yeah, no, it's not healthy. Yeah, it might kill some germs, but it is a chemical, and our bodies don't like chemicals.
Well, what if I could hear somebody saying, you know, well, what if I'm working at a job and, you know, I work around other people and, you know, and during the cold season, you know, people coming in there with the flu, coughing, and, you know, people in the cubicles next to me, you know, are just coughing
yeah.
like crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't bring my eucalyptus
air.
In here.
You can't clean the air by spraying stuff up in the air. I know you think you can, but this just doesn't work that way. So the best thing you can do is just wash your hands as often as possible. You can disinfect, you know, things that you share a lot, you know, with alcohol or something like that. You know, if you are, you know, use the same telephone or something, you disinfect with alcohol and things that are natural, you know, hydrogen peroxide, that kind of thing. But you can't clean the air by spraying chemicals in it. It just doesn't happen. So somebody coughs and you spray some stuff, that's not going to work. You just have to keep your immune system high, drink lots of water, drink good herbal teas, especially during that time, still get exercise, and wash your hands a lot. And that's going to be your main line of defense, and that really does work.
You know, I think that, you know, you brought up a good point about the exercise, too, because I think a lot of times when people – make the transition from eating a meat diet to a plant-based diet, whole foods plant-based diet, the assumption is that the letting go of the meat, that the meat and dairy is such a powerful, powerful, it's powerful in its ability to tear the body down, that once you let that go and you start replacing it with good food, that the good food, okay, now you're eating, okay, no more dairy, no more meat, you're eating fruits and vegetables and, you know, you're juicing and all that. I think for a lot of people, they think that, okay, I'm good, you know, you know, I'm good to go, you know. I've let go of all the bad stuff. I've been taking nothing but good food. I'm juicing, maybe even fasting, but they leave out the exercise, not realizing what a powerful piece to the puzzle that exercise is too. So yeah, it's good that you've let go of the meat. It's good that you've let go of the dairy. It's good that you're juicing. You know, it's good that you're getting your spirituality together. But you got to do some walking or some sit-ups or some. You got to move your body, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. That is a key component, even when you have these respiratory issues. A lot of times it helps alleviate the issues, so you can't stay away from exercise. And these things are healable. I've seen many people definitely get rid of these, quote, chronic diseases like COPD and even asthma and those kind of things when you change your diet, and bronchitis and all of that. Those are not things that you have to continue to live with. They are reversible. So you really want to change the diet, you know, focus on anti-inflammatories like turmeric and ginger, putting those in your foods like in smoothies or taking that as a supplement, you know, getting the help of a holistic physician or health coach or whomever that has experience with this can really help you get rid of it, because it's not something you have to live with. So, you know, start on your own by cutting the stuff we already mentioned and then adding these healthy things, and then get help. Sometimes some short-term supplements are good, you know, whether it's vitamin C or vitamin D. Those things can be very helpful too. So it's reversible, just like most illnesses.
Could you talk, Doctor, in the remaining moments that we have, just even about the importance of your expectations when embarking on a whole foods plant-based diet with the intent to reverse a condition, you know, because people have expectations, you know, they hear a show like this or other shows and they hear that, you know, I heard somewhere that, you know, if I stop eating meat and let go of dairy, that I could get rid of this, you know, and they, you know, have expectations, you know, that, okay, if I let this go, can I get rid of this cancer? You know, if I let this go, can I get rid of this arthritis or heart trouble or bronchitis or COPD or asthma, whatever the condition is? Could you talk about expectations and the need for people to have realistic expectations that, you know, if you didn't get into it in a week, you probably aren't going to get out of it in a week, but that with consistency and perseverance that you can actually reverse the disease, but you have to have realistic expectations and you have to do what is required. You know, sometimes where one person might, you know, their condition might just require them to, you know, cut this back, cut that back, you know, a couple of things and it's gone. You know, somebody else, their condition might be further along and it might take a little longer and they may have to up the dose of whatever the holistic recommendations are.
Absolutely. Sometimes you're going to need help. It's going to take, sometimes your body's been compromised for a long time. You might need some additional boost to get your immune system working as it should. So that's where you would need help with whatever it is you're doing, and knowing that it might take a minute, like you're saying, but that it can be done. So didn't happen overnight, usually doesn't go away overnight, although a lot of people do see results pretty quickly when they switch over completely to a healthy plant-based diet. And then you have to understand that you might not know exactly what a healthy diet is. So, you know, we have some misconceptions about that. So that's important to get some help, you know, in the short term to get a plan going, and then, you know, taking it from there. So I think that's really important to do, and to know that sometimes you need additional input and help, and sometimes you need some supplements in the interim to get kickstart your body into what it needs. Sometimes it takes maybe doing a cleanse or fasting or something like that, but it's it is, you know, it can be done, but like you said, it's not often where it's just overnight.
You know, I think you just said something so important, that you need a plan. And I think that oftentimes somebody hearing a show like this, again, or other shows in the archives, might feel like, okay, that's it. I got the answer. That's it. I'm letting go of the meat. I'm letting go of the dairy. I'm letting go of the sugar. I'm letting go of all the stuff that they said to let go of, and I'm going to start doing all the stuff they say to do. But you need a plan, you know. And in many cases, not only do you need a plan, you need a coach. You know, you need somebody that has done it. You need somebody that's going to be there that can encourage you. You might need somebody to put a plan together for you. You know, not you coming up with your own plan, because if you've never done this before, you really might not know what you need. You know you need to change, but you might not know exactly what you need to incorporate into your diet that is going to now turn it from something that's bad and detrimental to something that is good and positive for you. You might not know what are the foods you need to eat. You might not know what are the amounts or how often you need to juice, or, you know, or if and when to fast. Dr. Lathan, you actually help people with that, correct? I mean, you actually help people prepare plans so that they can actually make the transitions that they need to make based on their unique individual circumstances. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. That is what I do, and help people with a plan so they know exactly how to move forward, and give them a guideline on what to eat and what supplements they need and all of that. So I think that's really important to, you know, find someone, you know, either near you or can contact me, but you need a plan. You can't just wing it. There's a lot to know, and you work with people who've done this before, can help you find the shortcuts to healing.
Mm-hmm. Because in winging it, you could actually do something, make some combination or something, you know, mix something that is not supposed to be mixed, or, you know, and actually do more harm than good. So as with anything that you've never done before, you're not expected to know, you know. So I would encourage you to give Dr. Lathan a call, okay? She's done it. She's reversed cancer in her own body. Okay, tonight's show was on natural remedies for respiratory diseases, but like Dr. Lathan is fond of saying, if you cure the body, or if you heal the body, you heal the body. So if you have anything, you know, your issue might not be a respiratory disease. It might not be cancer. It could be arthritis or diabetes or whatever the case is. If you heal the body, you will heal the body. So get with somebody who knows the body, okay, who has done it for herself, and her life's work is helping others to re-engineer their lives to live above and beyond life's daily challenges and live disease-free. Okay, so definitely give Dr. Lathan a call. Doctor, how can they get in contact with you if they're interested in getting a plan? Again, can you give the web address again so that those that are interested in the cooking class that you got coming up can take advantage of that as well?
Absolutely. Folks can reach me through my website, which is rubylathan.com. So that's RubyLathon.com. Or you can set appointments there and contact me also via email at info@rubylathon.com, info@rubylathon.com. Or you can give us a call at 202-709-7829. 202-709-7829.
You know, that cooking class would be a great place to start. If you're dealing with whatever the condition is, whether it's COPD or, you know, a respiratory condition, or whether it's arthritis, gout, you know, whatever the condition is, you need to make it out to that cooking class, okay? Because that eating is going to be a large part of the lifestyle that is going to be changed. And so again, so that you're not just eating veggie burgers, you know, every day, and you can actually learn some recipes that will be delicious and taste as good or better than what you're used to. The cooking class would be a good place to start. Again, you can meet other people that are on the same path. I mean, you can form a network, a support network of people who are eating the same way that you're eating, because what goes into your body is definitely going to have an impact on your level of health, either good or bad. Correct, Doc?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is definitely going to be beneficial. Learning new things, new flavors, new healthy ways to eat is always, always good. I agree completely with all of that. And definitely, if you're in the area, you can join us on Sunday at 3:00. And definitely, they'll see all that information when they go to the website.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Lason, I want to thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you again for all of the lives that you've touched in a positive way. I know that just as a result of your life-changing experience that brought you to holistic health, you have used that to help other people with similar challenges change and re-engineer their lives. And, you know, for all of the shows that you do with us, you know, I want to thank you for all of the information. Dr. Lason also does a Monday night show. I want to let everybody know about that. Do you have the number handy for them, Doc, if they wanted to call? If you like this information, you can hear her every Monday, too, with Dr. Watkins. Do you have that number for people if they wanted to tune into that?
Or they can get sure. So, yeah, that number is going to be 641-715-3670. So that's 641-715-3670, and the access code is 163679.
You definitely need to check that out.
Yeah,
if you love this, one more time for that.
Yeah, the access code 163679, and that information is on my website, too. If you just scroll to the bottom, you will find it there.
Everybody, we got a little slight delay on the call here, so it's not like I would never intentionally talk over Dr. Lason. Sometimes we'll start talking and the other one start talking. It's only because of the little delay that you hear that. Doctor, thank you again so much for everything that you do and for all of the lives, again, that you touched. And I pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful turnout at the cooking class, and I pray that God continues to open more doors for you to help spread this information, because it's making a difference. And again, I thank you so much. Any parting words for our listeners today?
Well, I thank you for having me, and just know that, you know, the body can heal when you give it what it needs. So let's find out what that is and do that and stay on our healing journey.
There it is, everybody. Oh, somebody said to ask. Somebody just texted me. Said distilled water or spring.
Both are fine. Distilled is most pure, but it doesn't have the all the minerals. So I mix them up. Sometimes
okay.
Distilled, sometimes spring.
Dr. Lason, again, I want to thank you again. I look forward to our next conversation. Everybody, she's in the archives, so make sure you scroll down the archives. And for those who are listening for the first time, you can follow the show on Blog Talk Radio, and then every time there's a show, you'll hear the date, the time, the guest, and the topic. Okay, so scroll down the archives, and wherever you see Dr. Lason, just click it, and I guarantee you that you will be in for another treat. Dr. Lason, I will be in touch. My sister, awesome show. Awesome information, and again, really appreciate all the work you do.
All right, thank you. All right, and have a great night.
Peace and blessings. You too. Everybody, that's Dr. Ruth Lason. And again, you definitely want to make sure that you are available for the cooking class, because there's so much information that they're going to be talking about at the cooking class, not just cooking, okay, but other information similar to the information that you heard today. Okay, so you want to make sure that you get as much information as you can when you're gathering information about holistic health. You know, life is interesting, is it? Did you ever think that you would one day be sitting down and listening to a show like this? I mean, just a show on holistic health, you know. I mean, did you ever think, I mean, if you look back, say, 15 years ago, did you ever, maybe 20, did you ever think that you would find it interesting to just sit back and listen to a show about the body and how the body works and healing the body and what foods can you can intake that will help the body, what you need to let go of to keep the body at its optimal functioning? So isn't life interesting? So if you like this information and you have other people that you want to turn on to this information, rather than try to share it with them yourself, I mean, that's fine if you can articulate it. But what I do is I tell people to listen to the show, because I could try to explain something that Dr. Latham said, and I might not get it right, right? I might not say it the way she said it. So it's just easier for me to tell them how they can get the information by either sharing the show with them, giving them the call-in number, letting them know when the shows come on. That way they can hear Dr. Latham for themselves, okay? So, again, I want to recommend that you take a stroll down the archives. We've got all kinds of shows with Dr. Latham. We've talked about everything as it relates to holistic health. I mean, we've talked about the different cancers. I mean, how to reverse cervical cancer, prostate cancer. I mean, you name it, you know, erectile dysfunction. You name it. I mean, we've done shows on fasting. We've done shows on meditation. I mean, all these shows are in the archives. So if you enjoyed what you heard today, take a stroll down the archives. And again, follow the show. You'll be notified again whenever there's a show. You'll be notified of the guest, the time, the date, and the topic, okay? So I want to thank everybody for your time. I truly appreciate you. You could be doing something else, but you decided to spend this portion of your day with my person and Dr. Ruby Latham. So until the next time, everybody, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I wish you nothing but the best. My name is Juwan. So who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Etipu.